Praise God. Welcome to Battle Cry. Good to be back with you tonight. Praise God. You know, it's just really good to walk with God and get caught up with God, you know. Get caught up in that special place with Him where we feel His presence and know what He wants of us. Praise God. Now, tonight, I'm going to talk about curses. And I said I was going to be talking about soul ties, curses, and coverings. And these are some things that Christians need to be aware of. I'm telling you, there are so many Christians that hide their head in the sand and they wonder why they are tormented. They wonder why they can't go on with God. Well, if we'd actually take time to pray and read the Bible, we would see a lot of information here that relates to us. But you know, too many Christians want to talk about the blessing God. They want to talk about the champagne bubbly love. They want to talk about, you know, what God can do for them. And God is wanting to do a lot for us people, but we have got His Word to read and study it to see why we are slowed down in certain areas, why we have stopped growing in certain areas, because there may be some things that God wants to reveal to us. And I was never aware of these things myself. But since the Lord brought us into this place with Him and began to show us a lot of things connected with deliverance, then our life has been changed a whole lot since we have begun to look into the Word of God on some of these things, like soul ties, curses, and coverings. And I'll be talking about them for maybe a couple, three broadcasts here, so just tune in and you may learn some things. And the reason why God wants me to talk about this, because His people are in bonds. You say, well, I'm saved and I may even be baptized in the Holy Ghost and I may have some of the gifts operating in my life. Listen, we could have all those wonderful gifts of God, but we could still be bound. See, we could still be in a stagnant place with God. We could still be in a place of lukewarmness and compromise. And we could be under a demonic attack, and we don't know why we are under a demonic attack. And tonight, I just want to expose a little more of Satan's workings, and that's in the area of curses. And automatically, when you talk about curses, Christians kind of look down their nose and say, what are you talking about? I'm a Christian. I can't be cursed. Well, let's look in the Word of God and see if it's possible or not. And I don't have to say this too much, but we do work in deliverance, and we found out a lot of Christians are under curses. And there is three ways that we have studied about over the air here, that three ways that we can open up doors for demonic entities to come in. As a Christian, Christians can have demons. We've studied this, we broke through this, and of course, theory says it's impossible for light and darkness to dwell together, but you know what? Think about it. It actually does anyway, don't it? Light and darkness do dwell together. It's not supposed to be that way, but it happens. And this is what the whole warfare is all about, is driving the enemies out of the land. Praise God. God has given us a beautiful land. He's given us salvation. But you know, there's enemies camped in the land in our soul realm that we must drive out. Praise God. And if more Christians would begin to look at this and realize this, they'd see, yes, it's true, I need to take dominion. But a lot of Christians don't want to look at this. They'd rather go on in their mundane circles they've been going in for 40 years with one particular hassle that seems to keep them back, rather than to face the fact it may be a spirit they have that needs to be cast out. Praise God. If you're interested in what I'm saying, if you haven't heard this before, you can write us here at Free Love Ministries or call us at 457-8855, and I can send you tapes, books, and literature on this. This is not something that I've come up with, but it's in the Bible. Praise God. And it's very real. And I want to take you to the scripture in Proverbs 26 tonight, starting out. And verse 2, it says, as a bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Now, we're talking about curses tonight, okay? In case you're wondering what a curse really is, I'll explain it to you, what the concordance and what also the dictionary says about a curse. A curse is a prayer or invocation for harm or injury to come upon a person. Now, that's one meaning of it. Another meaning is vilification. That means a defamatory utterance. And, of course, if you're wondering what defamatory means, it means act of defaming another. Now, when we talk about curses, the first thing that comes to our mind is witches and witchcraft, and we think about Halloween time, and we think about all this fairy tale we've seen on television or in the movies. This is what we think. But I'm telling you, people, curses are real. And Christians can be under curses as a Christian. We know when we're walking in sin and living for the devil, we're under curse. And I'm not just talking about the curse of, you know, we're going to die and go to hell if we're not saved or born again. Jesus bore that curse for us, but we're talking about curses that could be placed on us. Number one, curses can be placed on us by other people. You say, well, that's not possible. Well, here it is, what I just read. A curse calls us shall not come unless. And I'll get into this and show you examples in the Bible where a curse did not come on God's people because they was walking right with Him. But let me tell you, folks, if you're not walking right with God and you're not under God's covering as a Christian, a curse can come up on you. And if you don't believe in witches and witchcraft, you need to seek God on this matter because they are very real. And it was last year, I believe, in Sacramento when they had this big witches gathering out to the Cal Expo. And I believe it was even a write-up in the paper. If not, I heard it somewhere that they said the witches had gathered together in a pact to pray against one of the biggest churches in this city that it would fall. And you know what? One of the biggest churches in this city fell. The pastor found out to be a fraud and was ripping the people off for all kinds of money. And that church fell down under that because those witches and people were praying against that. Now, this will work. A curse will come on us if we're not walking right with God. But if we're walking right with God, then we can take all those curses and send them back to the sender. And this is why it said a curse shall not cause us to come unless there's a reason for it. And I want to show you some reasons tonight why they can come. See? Now, Christians walking in the knowledge and power of our spiritual authority, we are especially targeted for attention by the enemy. We know that, don't we? We are an enemy, a target by the enemy. If we're walking in our authority, Satan hates Christians that take up the cross and follow after Jesus. He hates Christians that say, I'm going to be sold out and dedicated and consecrated. Satan hates that worse than anything because that means trouble for him. But if he sees Christians playing little games, bingo games, and having pie suppers and talking about the bubbly champagne God and the gimme God, I'm telling you, that doesn't bother Satan whatsoever. He is after those that sold out and consecrated because that means God is going to use them as a battle axe and weapons of war against His kingdom. And those Christians are the one that's going to be under attack by Satan. He's already got the lukewarmers people. He's already got the one that's half-hearted and compromised and is not walking upright with God. He's already got them in a snare and a trap. But he's definitely targeted for those ones that's walking upright with God to get them out of the battlefield because that means trouble for him. Praise God. And, of course, demons work hard in their destructive activities and means to prevent knowledge, you know, to come into the believers for using their weapons that God has given us. See, if we become aware that we have weapons such as the blood of Jesus Christ, the sword of the Spirit, we have weapons used of God's angels in combat, in battle. If we have knowledge of this, that we have rights and privileges and no thing formed against us can prosper, if we really believe this and act upon this, that means trouble against the kingdom of darkness. But there's so many Christians that don't even know what's going on. They say, well, I'm saved and that's it. Waiting for a rapture or waiting to meet grandma in heaven. I'm telling you, there is more to this walk than that. And the quicker we realize that we are in the enemy territory in this earth, the quicker we're going to realize that we must continue the battle and fight for our soul. Praise God. And people a lot of times they say, well, we're not under any kind of a curse. See, I want to let you know regarding final salvation, we're not. Because, you know, Jesus did pay the price for us. But we, as living here on this earth, we can definitely be affected by curses. See, you didn't automatically shed curses when you were born again. And, of course, there's a lot of people that deny this fact, but also they say, well, Jesus died to take away the curse. That's right, He did as far as final salvation goes, if we continue to walk with Him. Okay, but we're talking about other things here. And I will let you know that He also died for the sins of the entire world, people, but not all the world is walking. It doesn't automatically happen. People, that's the ignorant side of Christianity when people say, well, when I got saved, all my demons left, all my curses left, everything that ever bothered me left, all my sins left. But let me tell you, God did forgive you for your sins, but you may have curses that you're carrying over, and you may have spirits that you're carrying over from your previous walk. It's just like Jesus died for the world. That doesn't mean all the world is going to accept Him. The provision is there, but they must act on that provision. The provision is at our disposal to use and cast out demons and break curses and soul ties, but we must act upon those provisions. We just can't assume automatically it has been done, because automatically the world didn't accept Jesus, although He died for the sins of the entire world. So let's not be ignorant about this thing. Praise God. But if that were true, what they're saying by their carnal reasoning, the entire world would automatically be saved. But it's not true, is it? See, the potential and the price has already been paid. Praise God. But we must apply that which God has given us, the provision. See, it puts us in motion. And it's like deliverance from these curses is available. But we must believe it, number one, and then we must act on that, and we must take away the legal grounds of demonic activity. Praise God. And this is where the battle comes in. Okay? Now I want to take you to a couple more scriptures here. I know I go a little fast here, because I like to get a lot in, but you just bear with me, because there's a lot to talk about. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I want to let you see that some of the ways that we can be cursed and we can have curses placed upon them. And let me tell you, people, God can curse us. You say, well, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, God won't curse me. You better read the scriptures here. All right, Deuteronomy 18. Now, what God wrote to His people back then, it's still in effect for us. Nothing's changed. It's the same God. It's the same righteous God that didn't want His people in idolatry and in all the abominations of the heathen back then. He still today, under grace, does not want His people in idolatry and doing the abominations of the heathen that's in the land. God is the same God. We think because we're under grace, and you know, God has changed His plan and His mind. No, He hasn't. He hasn't at all. Praise God. Now, at verse 9, Deuteronomy 18, when thou art come into the land. Now, listen, when we are saved, we come into a new land. We come into Canaan's land, didn't we? A new dimension in the spirit, a new way of life, a new way of living. But previous to that, Israel was in bondage. It was in Egypt. They didn't know anything about freedom. They didn't know anything about a land with milk and honey in it and a land of good fruits in it. They didn't know about it. All they knew was bondage to the Egyptians. Okay. So He says, when you come into this land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do at the abominations of those nations. Now, folks, I want to let you know, this is an abomination in God's sight when Christians sit around and try to partake of the things of this world. When we want to learn how to operate all these satanic video games, when we want to learn how to do a lot of the things that the heathen is doing, I'm telling you, that is an abomination in God's sight. He has not changed. You know, there's a lot of gimmicks that Satan has brought down that the world is caught up into it, and Christians are coming along and want to learn how to do it. They want to learn how to play Dungeons and Dragons, that little cute little game, you know. They want to learn how to play all these little occult games, to play with the Ouija boards. They want to learn how to psych people out in ESP and all these things. You know, and they say, well, it's harmless. It's only done in fun. Yeah, well, let's see what God says about it. Now, there shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination. Now, what you need to do, if you don't understand what these things are, you take a concordance, or you can take a dictionary and look up these words and see what divination means. Okay? Or an observer of time. It has to do with astrology. Or an enchanter. Or a witch. Okay? Or a charmer. Or a consulter with familiar spirits, such as a medium. You know, there's a lot of Christians that think, oh, it's funny. Why don't we just go to a seance? Yeah, let's go have a contact with a familiar spirit. Or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now, a necromancer is somebody that communicates with the dead. And let me tell you, it isn't the dead they communicate with people. Those are demons that they communicate with, because the dead, when they die, a sinner dies, he is locked up somewhere. His body, of course, is in the grave, and won't you ask God where his soul and his spirit may be, and see if it's just roaming around for us to play around with anytime we feel like it. Praise God. Now it says, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And there's a lot involved in these particular things. It all has to do with the occult realm. And if I hadn't been in the occult and dabbled around in all these type of things, I really couldn't truthfully say too much about this. But I know how deadly these things are. And I know what kind of effects it had on my life as a Christian. And I know that I had to break curses by participating in these things that I didn't ask forgiveness for when I got saved. I carried curses all over in my Christian walk. Praise God. And it tormented me and slowed me down. And then God showed me that I need to ask forgiveness for dabbling around these things. And also that I need to break curses that had been placed on me by dabbling in these things. Okay? Now, if this isn't good enough for you, go to Exodus 24. The 20th chapter. And let's start at verse 1 or verse 2. It says, I am the Lord thy God which had brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now here we are, bring them out of bondage, okay? Let's type it, us coming into salvation. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay, now I want to stop there and I want to talk about this. The gods that is talking about people are demons. Anything that we worship other than God are gods. It may be a statue. It may be a car. It may be a television set. It may be something else. But what is a force and a source behind that thing we're worshiping is none other than a spirit. It is a spirit being. Praise God. Gods. Small G-O-D-S. And the Bible says that Satan is a god, small G-O-D, of this world. He's the god of this world, so he has demons, and that means there are gods in this world that we can worship. And if you haven't outright dabbled in the occult or under some satanic cult, then you may have other gods in your life just as prevalent as these things, and you may not even know that. Then he goes on to talk about don't make any graven image. In other words, let's not bow down and worship anything. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Okay? For I am the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting, now I want you to hear this, visiting the iniquity of the fathers up on the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now you say, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. If you have dabbled any time in your lifetime in the occult realm, and you have played around with other gods, and you come into your Christian walk, don't assume automatically all those curses was broken over your life. Don't assume that every spirit that you had picked up during that time has left your body. Okay? Don't assume that. Praise God. Because it is not true in all cases. I'm not saying it can't happen one time. But see, when you came in contact with an occult practice, such as a Ouija board, horoscopes, fortune tellings, hypnosis even, ESP, any of these things that you come in contact with as a sinner or as a Christian, you were cursed. Your children were cursed. Your grandchildren were cursed. And your great-grandchildren were cursed. All in the same operation here. This is what it says in here. That God is going to visit the iniquity of the fathers up on the children, unto the third and fourth generation. In other words, that practice that they did, that a curse was placed on them, and that curse is going to go down to the bloodline to the third and fourth generation. Now you think about this. And when we deal with people in deliverance, it doesn't take long to find out it may be a curse that maybe their great-great-grandfather was practicing witchcraft, which was an abomination in God's sight, and that particular set of spirits was passed on down to the fourth generation, which this person came to us and said, I got problems. I never dabbled into witchcraft. I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like I'm under a curse. I feel like I'm, you know, being tormented to death. And I feel like I want to commit suicide. Well, you know what has to be done? Number one, we get the people to renounce anything, if they had practiced any of these things, to renounce and ask forgiveness. We also have them to ask God to forgive them for their ancestors, ancestral curses or iniquities that ancestors may have committed. It doesn't matter if you know it. It don't hurt to go ahead and do it just for good safety's sake. And when you do that, then you break curses back three and four generations. And when you break those curses, that stops the demonic activity. Those curses have been stopped, put in effect where they won't bother you more. And then You take those spirits that have been passed down that may be in you, and you round them up and corner them up and cast them out. And this is how this works. This is what deliverance is. And you can't just go to a psychiatrist and psychologist and say, hey, fella, I've got a problem. You know? And you know what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you to take a bunch of pills. They're going to tell you to go out and have some big fling. They're going to tell you all kind of off-the-wall things that won't get the job done. But I'll tell you, won't we read the Bible and see it may be curses that needs to be broken over our life. We find this continually in deliverance. Continually we find this. I've had them broke over my life. I've broken over many people's lives. Curses. Curses of alcoholism. We had a person come in here that sat 4 years in a particular ministry in this city. 4 years she sat. That she couldn't get off the bottle. She couldn't drink. She loved God. She wanted to go on for God, but she couldn't quit drinking. She was obsessed with alcohol. And you know what? The pastor or anybody, any of the elders in the church couldn't do a thing with her. They didn't know how to handle it. All they'd tell her, well, sister, you better quit that. Well, yeah, she knew that. That's why she was desiring help. Well, she came here, and she came here drunk. Many services. She'd come here and sit drunk and stolen tranquilizers. And finally, I just got one night, I said, listen, you can't come back here anymore. You got to get sobered up at least 72 hours, get that alcohol out of your system, and then we'll cast those demons out. Well, she didn't know she had demons, but we know she did, because there's demons of alcohol. Well, when she finally did get over her mad spell at us and submitted, then God showed us that her, we asked her, said, well, how's your family? Were they alcoholics? And yes, it traced on back to the great-grandfather. I believe on back there that they was all alcoholics. And she was an alcoholic. So what we did, all we did was very simple. We broke curses back. I think we even went back 20 generations to make it good. And when we broke those curses, those demons that had come in through those ancestors come on down and manifested and just about went crazy because they were finally exposed. And we wrestled around a good hour trying to get these spirits out. Spirits of rebellion and alcoholism, all these filthy things that came together. And she is set free. She's here today in this ministry. You never know that she was the same person because what had happened in her life because of those curses being broke. She hasn't touched a drop. Since then, she's had many deliverance. She's quit completely smoking and a lot of these things. Now, people, if you want to get set free, you can. But don't just say, oh, Jim Green, that's all you talk about is devil. That's all you talk about is Satan. All you talk about is negative. I hear people continue to say, all you want to do is dwell on darkness. All right, if you want to dwell on God and the light, I'm not saying we shouldn't, but if you want to keep your mind up on what you receive from God all the time, that's wonderful. See, we need to think on the good things of God, but also we must realize that God has put these things in the Bible for us to study and to see that we need to apply these things. And too many people say, oh, well, let's just think on the good and get our minds off the evil. Well, I don't think there's anything evil while exposing Satan and his wiles and sin where we can get help from. But you don't think anything about going to a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and pouring out your filth and all your junk in front of them and dwelling on all these negative things, all the problems you're having in your home and all this. You don't think anything about talking about those. But when it comes to talking about something that may help you, you say, ah, you're just dwelling too much on demons and devils. Well, all right, well, what causes our problem? What causes our problem? Is it Satan? Of course it's Satan. He causes our problem. God doesn't. You say, well, it's just my flesh. All right, show me a scripture where it's just our flesh, people. There's only two masters. We serve one or the other. What force are we yielding to? Is it Satan's force or is it God's force we're yielding to? There's no third force. There's no such thing as self-force. Man does not have a life of his own. He receives life from either God or from Satan. Read the Word of God and see. That's why I talk about Satan. I expose him. And this is how these things work. See, anything in the occult realm requires two steps to destroy the grounds for attack, okay? Number one, every contact must be confessed as sin to eliminate the ground of unconfessed sin, see, as a legal hold for demonic bondage here. If we're hanging on to something that we won't ask forgiveness for, that gives the enemy territory to hang on to in our lives. And, of course, what God is wanting us to do is get back all the territory that Satan has got. And there's a lot of Christians that will not deep down in their heart confess some things because they feel guilty or they feel ashamed about it or they feel condemned. And therefore, there's a little part in their heart that Satan's got bondage over because they won't confess it as sin. I'm telling you, anything in the occult realm, we need to quickly confess it. Anything you've done in these things we've talked about tonight. Praise God. And the next thing after you do that, you just notify old Satan and say, listen here, fella, I am closing the door to your activities. I'm breaking curses. I'm asked God to forgive me for doing that. I know it was abomination in God's sight. Now I'm shutting the door. And you ain't going to have any more dominion in my life. Now listen, if you'll act on that, you will see you'll get some relief. You know, the traditional teaching going around in the church is, well, just crucify your flesh. You know, just crucify your flesh. Well, maybe you ought to look up and see what the flesh really is. They say, well, it ain't demons, it's just the works of the flesh. Well, what do you think the works of the flesh is, people? What force and source behind the flesh makes the flesh do what it does? Let me tell you, is it God's force or is it Satan's force? Remember, there's only two forces, there's only two sources, only two masters. Now you tell me if it's God's source or Satan's force working the works of the flesh. That's exactly what it is. It's the working of the flesh. It's the source working through you. It's the evil source working through you. It isn't yours. It isn't your flesh. It's Satan's force working through your humanity, through your carnality. If people would realize this, they'd realize they can't actually crucify the old flesh. And of course, I was into teaching for 10 years like this. Everything had to be crucified. And you know, I seemed to never get any help by crucifying my flesh. And he all said, well, it's just the works of the flesh, Jim, you know. Yeah, it was the works of the flesh. Satan working through the humanity side of me. That's what it was when I yielded to him. And all of these curses I had on my life, they had part of my ground I couldn't take back because I wasn't aware of it. Praise God. So this is something that we need to pay attention to. And it also mentioned in the 17 things in Galatians there, it talks about witchcraft. Now you tell me witchcraft is a work of the flesh. That's right. That's right. Satan working through the old flesh to make you do all these things you're doing. Uh-huh. Praise God. And when it means crucifying your flesh, people, all it means is putting that thing that's tormenting you, that lifestyle, in a place of death where you don't recognize it. Don't let it live and live as unto God. And it goes back to if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Or you won't, your humanity side will not lust after the gods of this world. That's all that means. You don't really put anything to death. You put it in your frame of mind, you put it as death. You know, keep it in a place of death that it's not active in your life until that thing can be cast out. Now that's part of a dominion walk. And then there's a discipline walk where you restrain yourself and keep yourself from sin. And there's a deliverance walk where you can cast these things out. Let's not get lopsided about this. Too many people talk about crucifying their flesh and they're living totally in sin. It's done them no good at all. So there must be more to it than that, right? And people ask, every time they come in contact with an occult, does that open the door for Satan? Well, I won't say not every time it may happen, but I tell you, we got to be careful if we're psychically sensitive to these areas and we can open a door. And there's a lot of people more psychic. I don't like to use that word because it's an occult word, but we're more prone to the spirit world than other people. See? And then some of us may have a tendency, I don't know, just because of our makeup, to be more sensitive to the spirit world than other people, and therefore we'd be more sensitive for having demons that come in than just a normal person that just may go to a palm reader. It may not even bother them. To us, if we're sensitive and open to the spirit world, we can invite spirits into us, see? But I don't care how we look on it, if they come in or not, God curses us from the third and fourth generation because we dabbled in the things of the world. Now think about that. Praise God. It may be some of your problems tonight. And I know that a lot of you has called me by hearing these broadcasts and explained to me that you've got problems and this and that. And usually it stems back that you've dabbled in the occult. Even years after you've been in a Christian walk, you still had problems plagued by those things. Well, here's some of your answers. You need to break curses. So you tune in again. I'm going to continue on with some of these things and talking about them. These are some things that need to be talked about. And this is not nothing negative. And on the dark side, this is the light side because this is where your help comes from. Praise God. This is where you get set free in liberty in Christ Jesus. You can grow in God. You can seek God more. When you're bound down, you can't always seek God. Praise God.